Venga, va. So, this session is... welcome, everyone. This session is about how to increase the CRM intelligence using Azure services. Mostly cognitive services, but we'll go... I'll explain you in a second what we're going to cover from all the intelligence services available in Azure. But first of all, you know, thank you to all the sponsors. Thanks for helping us get this event up and running. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Marco Amuedo. I'm the CTO for Europe in ACL Power Objects, one of the biggest Dynamics partner. And that's my Twitter. Happy to answer questions there. But the session agenda for today is fairly long, but we'll try to look at, you know, give you a good idea of the intelligent services and capabilities that you can bring into the CRM. So first of all, we'll do an overview of the intelligence in Azure, what services are available. Then we'll go deep into cognitive services, the higher level APIs for intelligence and how to use them with Dynamics. And finally, we'll close looking at the ready integrated services. So there are a few of those intelligence services that are already integrated into Dynamics. Microsoft's been working on that, and funny enough, some of them are only available in the US, but that's because the cognitive services were only available in US as a preview, but they're coming on probably on the next release, so it's good to know what's available there. So, introduction to Azure Intelligence. You've probably seen this many times, but there are three big trends around every business, all about big data, how to consume that data, bringing, you saw the previous session from Stefano on bringing all the stuff, IoT, lots of data you can gather from many sensors, many different things. How do you store that, how to use the cloud to scale, and then how, after you get all that data in some place, apply intelligence. So that's what we're gonna focus on the intelligence bit. Azure has actually a quite a nice path for this. You have a series of services to capture data or manage that information. So everything from IoT hubs, event hubs, data catalog, and so on and so forth. Then you have places to store that data, data lake, SQL data warehouse, or all the services there. On top of that, you have the machine learning and analytics. That's the bare metal machine learning, where you can go and do your experiments. You can do lots of different things there. But on top of that, is the intelligence, is the ready-made APIs to apply intelligence, the cognitive services, the bot framework, Cortana. So we're going to talk mainly about that area there, the top corner. But all about machine learning and predictive analytics, there are lots of use cases. I'm sure you've seen Microsoft talking about many use cases, predictive maintenance, forecasting, analytics on social networks, sentiment, etc. All of that is, again, using these machine learning models. And machine learning is just a new way of calling the, you know, those of you that are a bit older like me and studied artificial intelligence, is the same thing. It's just algorithms and stuff. And I wanted to include this here just to demystify a little bit what is machine learning. There is formal definitions. At the end of the day, what it means is a computer learns if managed to improve the performance of an experiment. So you test something, test the machine to try to predict some model or try to classify something or do something, and you measure the errors. And you improve that with more examples, with experience. There are many different types of algorithms and lots of stuff there. The important thing for us, from a technology perspective, is that actually machine, when we are developing as a software engineer background, you're doing your algorithms, coding and stuff, machine learning is quite different from pure coding. Machine learning is actually all about maths. Lots of different ways of looking at the space of problems, algorithms, classification, etc. And it's more difficult to explain sometimes why it's producing a result. So there's lots of difference there. Without stopping too much here, and that's just as an overview, the steps to build a machine learning model are quite complex sometimes, or can be. And there is lots of people that you probably heard the data science, or you know, it's quite a fashion now to have data scientists and stuff. And they are actually people that apply, learn these algorithms, know, depending on the type of data, what algorithm fits better, deep learning, maybe neural networks, different things, classifications, to do that. At the end of the day, to do machine learning, you need lots of data first. So you need a way of defining your problem, extracting the data, and then iteratively, and that's why they are called experiments, you experiment. Say, I'm going to try with this model how I can predict this data. And you go and try the models until you get a model that you like and deploy it. And that is what you use as the model to predict. So some algorithm that you created with the machine learning, some model that allows you to predict or classify or do different things with machine learning. In that developing the model, there is lots of steps. It's an iterative step where you define a metric that you're going to do and try to extract features, select features, fit the model, and do all of that. It sounds quite complicated. It can be quite complicated. Microsoft has a fantastic service on Azure called Azure Machine Learning. Stefano did a few sessions sometimes about that. But I'm not going to go in Azure Machine Learning. It's a full machine learning studio. You can go there, get data, do your R models, apply different algorithms, tests. It's quite, if you're interested on deep under the hood what's happening, that's a good thing. What we're going to focus now is actually on cognitive services. Cognitive services are ready-made models. So someone at Microsoft went through all of these models for their products, and they started to publish them. Most of these come from actually Cambridge Research Laboratories from Microsoft. That's why they were called Project Oxford, a few of them, the irony between Cambridge and Oxford. But many of them come from research on vision stuff. So they are really good algorithm models that Microsoft has trained over the time and published them. So now they are available as an API for you to consume. So we're going to focus on those. And what is available there? Well, actually, there is a lot of them. There are five families of services on cognitive services, five families centered around vision, all the way from detecting faces to feelings on if someone is happy, someone is not happy. Speech analytics as well. You probably have used that with Cortana on your phone. If anyone still uses Windows Phone here? There's resistance there. still. Speech analytics, language understanding, the bots. You've seen in the previous session some stuff about bots, but there is more stuff there. Knowledge. Knowledge is quite an interesting one in the sense that it can do lots of varied things from predictive models for for shopping baskets and stuff like that, product recommendations, but also deep linking of academic models. You'll see that someone doing a PhD created some models there and created some good stuff. And then it's search, using the Bing APIs. There's lots of stuff there around intelligence as well. So if you look underneath, those are all the services that you have. So in vision, you have computer vision, emotion, face, video, content moderator, custom. So we're going to try to go through a few of them and focus. But if you go to the cognitive services website in Azure, you'll have the whole list and what they do and all the stuff. I'm going to give you a good overview of all of them. But the important thing before we start looking at them is why. Why cognitive services? And again, it goes back to what I said before. Building intelligence on applications, it takes effort. Creating your models, creating your stuff. And it makes it very difficult for us in CRM or to bring lots of intelligence there. So these services are easy to use. They are APIs. Someone already made them. So we just take them, use them, and very quickly increase the intelligence of our applications, of business applications, and different things. So I'm going to try to give you a few ideas. But it's flexible. They are very simple REST APIs. You can use them even if some of you are dirty enough to use other technologies, not Microsoft stuff, like Demian. Sure. They're, Yeah, yeah.
The results are not very good, so
yeah.
We need to wait 1 year.
So depends on the model. So different services allow you to train them. So they are specific to you. For example, the face. Yes, you do in some of them. So, for example, in face APIs, you provide your faces and train them, train the specific individuals to recognize them. In the Louis services, you provide the utterance and stuff. What they build is the algorithms underneath. In some of the services, for example, the image recognition, analyzing an image and telling you what's in the image, that's Microsoft training it continuously with Bing images and stuff like that. So for example, when you analyze an image, just to give you an idea, when it returns, you throw this image to cognitive services, I'll come back and detect the face, tell you the approximate age based on, and that's done by Microsoft, okay? You don't specify age or stuff, that's the cognitive services model telling you, based on what I know from other faces, this looks like a 27-year-old male. Whether you have hair, whether you got glasses, it does lots of different things. But it returns that information in a simple JSON. You can use it, so it's very, very simple to use. So let's focus on the first one, on Vision, okay? So what can you do with Vision? So the first thing you can do with Vision APIs is actually computer vision. It's one of the APIs that allows you to do image analysis. You throw an image and it tells you, well, this looks like someone swimming, there is water, the majority of the most significant color is blue, but it does some analysis of the image and returns lots of information, metadata, if you want. There is another service that does OCR, text recognition, okay? And we're gonna play with that one. There is another one that does smart thumbnails. Typical thing, you get people loading images and then you have to crop them to fit a certain size. On many websites you do that. The smart thumbnail service will analyze the image, find what's the most relevant object on that image, and then crop it to that. And there is even one for celebrities. That's very useful for me because I don't know any celebrities. I can't cross people that are very famous, don't follow football too much, and stuff like that. That has, I think, a few thousand world celebrities. You throw a picture, and it tells you whether it's someone famous. Yeah, it can be useful. I don't know. not for me, but it's actually useful for classifying tons of content. When you have for example, many photo agencies or photo journalism, they process billions of images from different sources, and they need to classify and tag them. So what this thing does is actually, okay, in this image you have Leonardo DiCaprio, in this one you have that, and creates the indexes. You can use that. One of my friends actually works on this with using some of the APIs here for video tagging. He works for a Hollywood studio, and they process hours and hours of video, raw video from recordings and stuff to classify where the actor starts. And I'm sure you're using, you know, if you watch now Netflix and some of the modern digital content, Amazon Prime and stuff like that, you can see the companion apps tell you who is in the picture now, where's the actor, where's that. That comes from these services, actually identifying from what second that person is in the picture and so on. There's then the emotion API. This is quite a nice one. And essentially tells you, looking at that face on an image, whether someone is smiling, someone is happy, someone is surprised. So it can allow you to build very engaging things. It's focused, my primary view is focused on advertising. There are lots of places now. If you see these digital screens, look for cameras. Many of them actually got tiny cameras, and they're looking at the reactions of people to the advertisement and tracking people and stuff. I actually got one bill that we connected to CRM. But there is lots of places now tracking that. It's a bit scary sometimes. Then there is the face API. Here's where it gets really scary. Face API can detect faces, a simple thing actually, it's a fairly simple thing to do on a picture, but it can also do verification, tell you if this face and this face are the same. We'll do that in a second. It can tell you also who are lookalikes, people that look similar from a collection of images. It does grouping, so if you throw images, it will tell you, you know, this group of people look quite similar, this other, classify that, and then it does identification, and that's where it gets really scary. I can take a picture of you, train the model with one or a few, or get it from your social media, and then you show in front of my advertisement screen, say, oh, that's Marco, and track it, and track your emotions and stuff. So it gets pretty scary. Be careful who you give your picture to. Then computer vision also has video APIs, things around video stabilization. So if you go a Rocky video, you remember there's a Microsoft app around video, I don't remember how it's called, that does that, it uses that service. There's the face detection and tracking on videos. What I was telling you about actors and stuff like that is quite powerful, and motion detection as well. So you're watching some security camera footage, nothing moves, and when something moves, it will detect the movement on a video. I'm very relevant now with all what's happening in the world and lots of things going on Facebook and people sharing content, extremist views and stuff. There is also a content moderation API that will detect nudity, will detect different types of content that you could use for your websites or forums. So let's have a look at one of the demos here. Okay, so the first one I'm going to do is actually fairly simple. I got my contact in CRM, and I'm going to need a volunteer. You have been volunteered because you're closer. Come over here. So that's my contact picture. Oops. Let me get the front camera. So first, you get into the picture. Get there. Yeah, no, it's not the same. So it's checking my contact picture to him. It's not. We look fairly similar, but not the same. Yeah. Let me try now. Let me get onto the picture. So I'm going to take another one. That is the same person. And you can try to disguise yourself a little bit, but actually it's thank you. I keep you here. You can try to disguise yourself, but what it actually is doing in the return of that JSON is giving you coordinates of different points on your face. So where are the center of the eyes, the nose, mouth, different areas of your face. That's what I use to create that rectangle. All of that is just using JavaScript. Actually, I'll share this code later, but it's just a simple web resource. And it's a bit of JavaScript, but it's all the JavaScript, sorry. Yeah, give it a go. I'm not, this is risking it now. Yeah. It actually works if I get a picture, I put it in front. It doesn't detect depth or other things. It's not like Windows Hello. Windows Hello uses infrared and to detect 3D. You cannot really fake on Windows Hello with a picture. In this one, you could, really, just getting a picture and put it in front. As you can do on a banking app on a bank in UK, but don't tell them. Anyway, it's a simple HTML. It's just using the canvas and stuff like that. Anyone interested, I'll send you a code. But it's just a simple HTTP request, passing the image, your key, and it returns that. Very simple thing there. I got another thing here. Also using the computer vision. These are Power Up. This afternoon, I'll show you more about Power Apps on one of the Three Musketeers sessions, how it works. But so I'm just going to call it different. So this app is a bit interesting. So I need a business card. Let's do here. Just give me a second. So I start the camera on the phone, hopefully. I'm trying to show you the phone screen. Okay, there you are. All right. Let's see. It's going to be interesting. We have a bit of a good picture here. Come on. It crashed. Anyway, because these things happen. I got it already done, but what it will do is actually apply OCR to that to that text and OCR to that test and extract all the information. So if we look at one of the ones that I did before with a flow, it's just calling the optical character recognition service to extract tests from the picture, and this was my colleague Neil, and he got all this information from the business card extracted on text, and then I'll save it to CRM as a lead. So I'll show you this in detail this afternoon on the other session. But that's another example of image API. Okay. So what else can we do there? Well, speech recognition, right? There's lots of things that you can actually make your apps do with speech recognition. Now, it's quite a powerful scenario. I think, Frank, you're going to do some stuff later, right? On contact centers and USD. So I won't steal the thunder, but Frank will do that later. But being a speech API allows you to do a speech to text. So getting any speech to text, he works with Spanish as well. But it also allows you to create a speech intent, relying on Luis, on another service that we'll see later, language understanding, to understand what is my intention when I say something. It also allows you to output. So try to get the robot voice telling you something, or synthesize voice. And here's where the models allow you to train, like Demian was asking before. The custom recognition, or CRIS, is essentially the Bing speech service, but allows you to train it with examples for a specific environment. Voice recognition works quite well when there is no noise, no lots of... When you are on a factory environment with noise and stuff, you need to train the model to filter out the noise. So you can do that with CRIS and provide specific examples and say, look, in this file or in this sound, this is what he's saying, and keep text teaching him. But the most interesting one is actually speaker recognition. I'm sure you have seen some of the banks now, they get in with voice, voice passwords and stuff like that. Wrong. A voice is not a password. At all, it's a username. You cannot change your voice. If it gets compromised, what happens? For not talking about recordings and people with similar voices. There was actually a case with HSBC recently, a journalist got his twin to actually fake the voice, and he got past the security. So you need to be careful. They are good, they recognize speaking, but they all have certain tolerance levels and how to use them. My demo for this was speech recognition with USD. That's the URL. One guy at Microsoft built actually a hosted control that allows you to, while you are on a call, for example, on USD, capture what you're saying and search automatically on the knowledge base. I'm not going to do that one because of time. But if you're interested, I'll leave the URL, and then Frank will show you some stuff around that. What I'm going to show you, actually, it's just very simple, very quickly. Let's look at the voice. Let's look at the voice service here. And I'm going to try to show you the voice recognition. You want to volunteer again or no? So I need to train it for any voice recognition. I'm gonna do it three times. I like this one. A bit of a geek. Remember the movie, The Sneakers? I need to allow. My voice is my passport. Verify me. Okay, there goes the first try. Now I need to try again. Remember this decision. My voice is my passport. Verify me. Okay, first. My voice is my passport. Verify me. My voice is my passport. Verify me. Okay, so now let's try to.
My voice is my password. Verify me.
Accept. There you go. It's good. Anyone else wants to try? Daniel? That's it, well done. Well.
My voice is my passport. Verify me.
Is it actually thing? Okay. Accepted. Anyway, something wrong there, but obviously, it's what happens. Blame Microsoft. I told you not to rely too much on this. Good. So, what else we have? So we got speech. We got lots of stuff. The one recognizing speech and all these things is much better. But language. Language is a notorious difficult problem. I know that because I did a dissertation on this on university. I'm trying to teach a computer. I'm going to say a sentence in Spanish, guys, but vi a un burro con un telescopio. What you did? So a donkey with carrying a telescope, or you did see a donkey through a telescope? That's it's very ambiguous. Language is really, really complicated. So you have APIs for spell check. But with a twist. Obviously, you have spell checkers. You can use fixed models. The Bing spell check API is quite interesting. It learns. It evolves. So when you use that spell check API, it actually learns from new centers, new terms. So if I type lift with Y instead of I, you would think it's a spell mistake. Unless I capitalize, they might be really referring to a startup called Lyft that competes with Uber, right? Bing spell checker will detect those things, learn from the web, from all the models on the website, learn what people are saying, and try to apply smart spell checking. Luis, Language Understanding Intelligence Service. Probably the guy who did that was Spanish, but trying to get a nice name there. Essentially, this is one of the most interesting ones, and it's what the bot really service is based on, or what it gives the smart part of to the bot service. Other things. It allows you to provide utterances, which are sentences, and explain what are the intents of these sentences. And then when someone gets a piece of text there, it will try to match it to one of the examples of trying to get the intent. Anyone uses Alexa? No? Yeah? We don't. It's not available in Spain yet, is it? Amazon Alexa? No. It's quite interesting. It's based on the same service in the Amazon cloud, but it's the same idea. And my 2.5-year-old knows how to use it now. It's quite annoying. I tell Alexa to play music, and he goes there and says, "Alexa, stop." Text analytics, sentiment. Yeah, sentiment detection. That's the typical one. You've seen that in Microsoft's social engagement. But also key phrases. Extract key phrases from a piece of text. Extract topics from a lot of text, from lots of documents. What are the key topics? And also detect the language. What language are they talking in? The interesting thing with the text on the key phrases is how you use it. I'm working actually on a real use case with a big travel agent. And they do lots of surveys. You go on holidays, you come back, they send you a survey with 42 questions. Everything from how was your flight, how was your hotel, did you like the swimming pool, your bedroom, all lots of detail. Guess what, 42 questions, the answer rate is not great. So we changed it with using Dynamics and the voice of the customer to do a very simple question. Rate your holidays 1 to 5, and a text box, type Y. That's very, ballsy, let's try this. And it works. What we do is let the people type whatever, and then we apply these things to extract topics from that. So if I rate it 5 and say, hey, the hotel was great, the swimming pool was a bit meh, but this service will extract those topics, swimming pool, blah, blah, and classify with the sentiment, allows us to then check what hotels are having bad sentiment, and what are the key topics on that bad sentiment? Is it the swimming pools? Is it, and you get lots of intelligence without having to ask lots of detailed questions. It also has linguistics and WebML. It's essentially all about language modeling. You can actually try to use it, for example, with typical all when you, the smart keyboards, and try to detect the next word and all that stuff that you do on your phones. That's what it does. But it also allows you to give a sentence and do the tagging. Where is the verb? Where is the subject? Where is all that stuff? And try to extract. It's more a deeper level service. And finally, you have the translator. I'm sure you have seen the Microsoft demos with the Skype of someone speaking in Chinese, someone in English, and that's the translation live. And that's based on this service, and you can apply it. You can use it for your apps if you wanted to. Imagine customer service in different languages translating immediately. You can use that, all the API. So let's do a quick demo of this. And hopefully this one works. So the first one I got is text analytics. Let's do a very simple text analytics. I'm going to go here to no fake. This is a review, quite positive, right? So I'm going to just take this review. And we're going to create a case in CRM. Just quickly create a case here. My good ADATUM should be there. No? This poor account has all the cases. Hotel review, let's call it. And we're just going to put on the description all that text. What is going to happen when I do this, hopefully, this will trigger a flow. I just got a simple flow because I was lazy to actually do any workflow or try to connect. I just did a flow. Actually, Debian, with their workflow tools, he just created a new workflow activity that allows you to call the text analytics, so no reason to use flow. You could use it on a workflow now, but I do it on a flow because I like the risk. So let's go to my flow and see if I'm being lucky and it has run. Got the case sentiment here. Well, we got one from 11 hours ago. This was last night. So when a record is created, it calls the service with all that text from the case, and it gets some sentiment back, and then updates the record. Okay. Let's see if sometimes it takes a bit of time to actually update the runs here. But let's go to CRM and see if it actually has updated the case. There it is. Sentiment, 0.999. Perfect. It was actually quite a positive review. You saw the scoring. So good. You could actually extract the topics here from this text as well and then create tag clouds, topics, and stuff. Actually, Microsoft Now is one of the built-in services that we'll talk later, case topics extraction. Now prioritize cases by sentiment. So the most pissed off customers win. It's an example, remember that. But yeah, lots of things you can do with text. That's one simple thing. But then you can also create things like we were talking before, Luis. So I got here, let me sign in. Should be signing, but well, okay. So I got here one bot we created for a demo, and you can see how you create a language understanding service. It's very simple. It's actually defining intents, defining entities which are specific objects on the intents. And define utterances. Utterances are examples, just phrases. But you can also use pre-built domains. Microsoft provides you some Cortana domains, some stuff that you can use if you want. And it learns. It can suggest new utterances as you play. and suggest you do transitions based on the thing. So let me very quickly try to show you some of the. Let me get rid of that. Those are my intents. The intents are the actions that I want to have on my board. One is book an appointment. In CRM, find a key knowledge-based article, having a problem with a service, or create a service request. So those are the intents. I can add more intents. The entities, the service, I explain what service are you requesting, daytime, numbers, because I want the booking of the appointment. And then just, you know, can train it and test it and provide provide utterances and phrases to this service, right? Interest of time, I'm gonna go straight to the service. I got my Facebook here, so hopefully nothing weird shows. How can we make this bigger? This is a bot I published on a Facebook site. I'm gonna say hi to the bot. It might take a while to start. It's running on the bot service, Azure bot service, using the Microsoft bot framework and relying on Luis. It gets very complicated, lots of things there. The bot framework is a Microsoft construct that allows you to create bots. It's a framework to create bots. It allows you to register bots in multiple services like Facebook, Skype, Skype for Business, Teams, Line, lots of different services, even email, if you want to do a bot on email. The interesting thing is you create the bot once and you enable channels. So you don't have to do a specific bot for Facebook, a specific for bots for different things. There's the bot framework. Then Azure has a service to host bots if you want and make it even easier. And then Luis is actually providing the understanding here. So I got some examples there. My bot has replied. I'm going to say I got an issue with my boiler. So, you know, my heating is not working at home. This is a service management company for flats. Say, I'm sorry you have a problem with your boiler. It has detected. That's the entity. Okay, I want to create a service request. So now you can go into guided conversations on the bot framework. Okay, so it's asking me just for a customer service number. I got a very complicated one. So now it went to CRM and found my customer profile and it said, what's the problem? And you can actually use guided conversations like this, but it also understands options. I say heating. I will detect heating and hot water. How urgent? You never ask this. It's always urgent. So hi, and he'll say why? Well, you know, I got to the end of the conversation with the bot, and now it's going and creating a case in CRM, and I'll come back with a case number. In this case, I'm not authenticated. The bot hasn't registered who I am or anything. But you can actually create authenticated bots and keep the conversations, and it's very, you know, very powerful framework. I got another bot I cannot really show you because. You look at all my accounts, but you see here it says, hey, I work out what you spend this week. That's a bot that is connected to my bank account and is monitoring when I get paid. It should send you a gift with someone throwing money, stuff like that. It's quite funny, but it's actually proactive. I'm authenticated. It monitors my expenses, does lots of things. And that's how you create customer engagement. You can use it as another channel to push. Bots is not just inbound, okay? Anyway. Got my case created, all good there. Good, what else we got here? Knowledge, one of my favorites. First of all, you have an academic knowledge, okay? I told you this came out of research laboratories for Microsoft, so the first API they built is something to help them with the research. So they got a service that allows you to search across academic knowledge, papers, research publications, you know, lots of search capabilities using the knowledge graph and stuff. Great service you're doing something academic in the CRM context. I'm still trying to find an example to use it, but there. Entity linking, that's actually quite an interesting service, but also fairly complicated and edgy case. It allows you to throw a piece of text and try to identify entities. So, for example, if you got a sentence and someone mentions moon, on the sentence, it will try to disambiguate whether it's moon on the referral to the actual moon or to some you know, name of something, try using the context to link entities and then find the knowledge related to that. So you can then use the knowledge exploration that allows natural language search and brings, for example, Wikipedia knowledge and stuff like that. But the interesting thing for us is actually the last ones. First of all, is knowledge recommendations. I'm sure you all buy on online shopping and you get the people who bought this also bought this, the recommendation, or frequently bought together. Those two types of recommendations, same missing items on a basket or similar related items. Microsoft has a recommendations engine here that you can use. You train it with your models, with experience of past shopping. So you provide past shopping baskets and your product catalog, and it will learn what people does and how they buy your products. And then you can use it for recommendations. Guess what? It's already integrated in CRM, if you are in US, or if you create a US trial. I'll show you that in a second. But it's there. There is also a Q&A maker, and this is really, really very interesting service if you have to provide customer service with bots and stuff like that. Everyone has an FAQ, you know, frequently asked questions on this, on your services, and you when someone asks the question, you tell them RFM, read the manual. The Q&A maker actually provides an interactive services to ask questions based on that knowledge base. So actually, let's look at that Q&A maker very quickly. Right, so I got a Q&A maker here, and we're gonna... We're gonna create a new one very quickly, so I'm gonna go Microsoft Teams. And you see it's asking me for a FAQ URL because it actually can ingest documents or URLs with all the knowledge. So guess what? Microsoft has an FAQ for Microsoft Teams, one of the new Office 365 services. If you haven't tried it, try it. It's brilliant. Loved it. And it's getting better by the day. But I got the Q&A here, all the freaking asked questions. So, you know, every question and answer there and all the stuff. I'm gonna just give this URL, and you can add more if you want, or files, right? I'm gonna say create. Okay, so this is now crawling, trying to understand the content on that website using some of the underlying APIs of text analytics and language understanding, and it comes back quite fast with the questions and the answers, questions and answers, and you can edit it here. You can actually add more questions and answers, or you know, do whatever, and this is all the knowledge now, right? And you can extract it from CRM and import it here with a bit of massaging from stuff, but... Demian! But that's it, it's built. Now I got a ready available sort of chat or bot that I could use. I can go and say, okay, where is my data store? And it found an answer. If we actually look at the FAQ, the actual question for that. How does Microsoft Teams securely store and use my data? That was the actual question. But I say, where is my data store? And he, this service understands that intent and tries to find answers from the teams, and says, as a customer on Office 365, you own and control your data. That's one of the answers. But it could, he also found another one that is more, that's also kind of relevant. I give you the option. What I can do now is actually saying, no, that's the right answer. It's not the first one that you thought. It's this one. Okay? And I can add also more examples of the same question and train it. If I do that and save it, and retrain the model, when I ask the same question, it should come out now with the better answer. So if I go and say, where is my data stored? And now it comes with the right answer, the one I teach you before. not the previous one. So you go and iterate, and the interesting thing is once you publish this, you can actually get the logs and what's going and retrain the model based on how people is interacting with your services. You can publish it very quickly as a bot in the bot framework, or you can use it as a service to enrich a bot, existing bots or other things, and just use the APIs and connect with what we saw before. But it's a really rich service, the Q&A maker. Interesting for example, portals. Really nice experience. Cafe X, which Neil is going to talk about in a few minutes, is also building an integration with this. So in the future, the Cafe X chat product, the Life Assist that Microsoft is now bringing with the platform, will use this service to try to deflect before you actually talk to a human agent. Try to, read the bloody manual. Anyway, how are we doing on time? Five. Okay. And I don't listen to him. But so the last one is search. Okay, search allows you to use the Bing APIs, web search, image search, video search, new search. That's an interesting one. So it's Bing APIs. It's the old APIs that you had in Bing. You can use now with intelligence. And also to suggesting, okay, to complete queries. I'm going to show you very quickly one with a Bing new search, how you could use that in CRM. So I got here an account that many of you might know. So where is my account? My clients. Okay, Microsoft, and what is this? This is a simple web resource I got as well. I share the code with you if you want, but it's just again simple, stupid web resource that gets the account name, and goes and uses the Bing API to find news about that account and display it as just a simple web resource. So you add some intelligence, quite cheap, on your enriching your CRM with some news about what's. Oops. Be careful. Some problems with Microsoft builds. Anyway, so that's the last of the cognitive services, okay? There's lots of them. There's lots of examples there that you can use. Well, I wanted very quickly to also talk to you of some of the built-in cognitive services that Microsoft already has integrated to CRM. Again, in US instances only for now. Is coming now that connectivity services, most of them are now available in Europe as well. So that was the issue, why not bring it to Europe? So you have ready-made product recommendations in CRM. You can check the documentation, it's very easy to use. Knowledge-based article suggestions, so intelligence, not just based on on just typing a search on the knowledge-based controlling in the case, but actually scanning the notes of the case, scanning all the emails of the case, it will suggest knowledge-based articles based on the whole context of the case. Topic analysis. In the last 3 weeks, what's been the topics of our support case? If you have lots of volume of cases, it will start analyzing not just the description of the case, but also the documents related, activities, etc., and bring all of that and start to detect topics and show you on the dashboard. If you have seen the charts, the chart control in CRM, there is one that is called topics, and you cannot use it. Really, you cannot create a chart. That's the chart actually for this. Similar cases, suggesting similar cases, it does that as well. And then document suggestions in opportunities. So similar opportunities, people use this presentation, this stuff, using your OneDrive and SharePoint. So the product recommendations, if you haven't seen in action, you add a product to an opportunity, I recommend something. Similar cases. I'm going to stop too much. So that's the topic analytics, the chart that says it creates a tag cloud and the document suggestions. Before going into that demo, I'm going to just jump very quickly. There is even more intelligence outside cognitive services in CRM, actually. Microsoft has released a few things there. Customer insights. Any of you have looked at that? Customer insights? Yeah. So customer insights is actually a Azure service that connects to Dynamics, and it allows you to take that raw power of data lake, machine learning, analytics, all the stuff that you would have to invest lots of time and effort to create a ready-made configuration service, very simple to use. What it does underneath is deploy a data lake, a Hadoop model, and then the visualizations. You can then start feeding data from CRM, your cost and interactions, but also from other on-premise systems or other back-end systems, and teach KPIs of your customers. And it creates amazing visualizations and intelligence on your customer that then you can embed on CRM. It's one to watch. It's coming. It's already there, but if you haven't played with it, you can't. Relationship Insights, that's actually a really good one. It's available now. You can use it. Have you played with it? Yeah? So it actually has a few things. Relationship Assistant, you can define rules like you see there. You haven't touched this opportunity in the last 30 days. It will pop up that when you log into CRM on your mobile app, you probably have seen it. It also has email engagement and auto capture. So it can see engagement of how do you, you know, someone send you, a customer send you an email, it connects to the Exchange Online, it monitors your email. And it out, even if you haven't tracked the email in CRM, it will detect that the customer is mentioning a competitor or asking for a quote, stuff like that. It's quite rich service and very simple to enable. And then you also have organizational insights. That is how people is using your CRM, right? So, just very quickly, I'm now out of time. I know, sorry. Why? To enable these things, these are US-based systems, that's why it was a bit slow. If you provision a trial in US, you can play with this now, just to familiarize yourself. I'm assuming that it will come on the next release, don't hold me, I don't know. I don't see the roadmap, other than you know on the public website, but it's there. You have these two things. The machine learning recommendation service configuration, you just provide your key for the machine learning service, and the machine learning text analytics service configuration. Those two things are the ones that provide all those integrated services. And then if you enable that, you have to enable it on the previews, you know, on the system settings and all that stuff, good stuff, but it's all documented. If you go to my product catalog now, I got this new option, product recommendations. And here, normally training a model, you have to get all the model, provide the CSV, the examples in a format and stuff. It does everything for you. It gets the CRM data, uploads it there, and it's very simple. Just playing what are the entities that has the basket data, opportunity, order, quotes, you know, all that stuff. And then you just configure what fields. You can actually use custom line items and all the other things and create different versions, provide new data, stuff like that. And then you can actually test it, the different models that you are building. So if I choose a product here, so if I choose Power Object CRM implementation, and I choose two models, let's do this very quickly. The version 3 didn't have the PO, the Power Object product, so it won't yield a good recommendation. But then the other one it did. And it comes, in that one, I've got, you know, not good recommendations. You cannot see it there, but it says carbon fiber printer and stuff like that. This one has our Power Object Education add-on, Power Packs and stuff, because it was trained with different things. So now in a CRM record opportunity, when you click related product, it will show you products related based on intelligence, right? And the same thing goes for cases where you can enable lots of things there and other stuff. So I leave it there. In interest of time, any questions? I'm here the whole day. And we'll do more stuff on Power Apps. I'll show you Power App with computer vision working this afternoon on the other session. Thank you, guys.